Hey, what's up, everybody? Straight out of Marigold Studios, this is the Unpolished Podcast, and we are discovering life one record at a time. I am your host, the sometimes candor, sometimes more caring, but always unpolished Paul Moreno. It's good to be back with you. We're going to go into something that I would say is not maybe my forte, but I was kind of compelled to do this episode as far as like who the artist was. I'm looking at Tom McDonald. Now, you've probably heard of Tom McDonald. Maybe not in name. Maybe you don't recognize. But definitely, he's a part of a lot of controversy and has been over the last several years. You know, he was a Trump supporter back in 2020. Is very outspoken against liberalism and liberal ideals. Sings a lot about them, or, you know, raps a lot about them. Very high talent guy. So rather, I mean, whatever you're looking at his politics or his beliefs, you cannot deny this guy is talented. His own producer, making his own videos, his own raps, his own rhymes. I mean, this guy is super talented. What's funny, and you may not know this, I didn't know this until a couple of weeks ago, is Mr. Tom McDonald used to be a wrestler. Yes, he was a pro wrestler, not WWE, not at the upper echelon, but definitely a wrestler and has the moves. If you look up Tom McDonald wrestling career or wrestling matches or whatever, and this guy's, I'm talking like jumping off the top ropes, flips, spins, twists, the whole thing, and this guy did it all. And so it's really interesting to see that. You know, it's funny. Every artist has a past, or, you know, a way of making ends meet until they can do music full time. So it's funny to see that. That one I wasn't expecting. Maybe a pizza delivery guy or something, but definitely not a pro wrestler. But that was an interesting thing. It's actually worth going to see it, as far as, you know, go on YouTube or wherever you find videos, and I'm sure you can find that, and it's amusing. It's funny to just see him in that context. Short blonde hair, and now he's got the long braids and everything, but you know, very interesting, very talented guy. I mean, just no matter how you look at it, he's super talented. He seems to be fearless in his vocalization of what he stands for, and it's funny, because I was thinking about this, and I don't know if it's just that he's that controversial, if he's that divisive, if he's, you know, I don't, whatever you want to say, even on the, in the terms of being unafraid, it's just, I don't think he's in the minority here. I think he's just kind of speaking up for the silent majority. But, you know, when he'll say stuff, you know, about girls being girls and boys being boys, and not wanting his, you know, boys to grow up to be girls, not wanting his girls to grow up to be boys, you know, that in today's, you know, climate or context can be very controversial. I mean, can even come across as hate speech. But in one of his lyrics that he sings, he says, you know, it's not hate speech just because you hate what I'm saying, you know, or, you know, I'm paraphrasing. But it's just, it's interesting. I found out about Tom McDonald. It was probably around the Trump campaign in 2020, somewhere in there, 2019, 2020. And, you know, just, if you just go and look at some of his song titles, you can see why in the last, you know, 5 years that this guy has really offended a lot of people. When you just look at the context, you know, a straight white male, you know, singing about being a straight white male and just things of that nature. And it's very triggering to a lot of people. But one of the songs that really caught my ear was a song called Withdrawals. There's nothing controversial to it. I wouldn't say it's touching on any of those divisive items. It's just, this man has struggled with alcohol, drug abuse, and especially alcohol, I believe. And so when you look at the lyrics, or if you listen to the song, it's very much like he's going through withdrawals. And I'll read out some of the lyrics here in a little bit. But the song came out, and it's very interesting. Now, one thing about Tom McDonald is he can afford to be controversial. And this is where I think independents and independent labels, independent artists have to take advantage of being able to be themselves in a way that they don't have to necessarily toe the line with the label, or toe the line with a major label or a distributor or whoever. You have the ability today to be your own producer, to be your own media guy, your own person to put stuff out there. You don't have to toe the line and believe what everyone else believes to be successful. Tom McDonald has shown that. Now, what you do have to do is you have to be a freaking workhorse. This guy is that. I will say that. And it's evident. I don't know the guy. I've never met the guy. But just looking at the content that he puts out, how much he puts out, how many videos, how the production, everything is just, it just shows this guy is a workhorse, not afraid to work. And so maybe that goes back to some things that he learned back as a wrestler. I mean, those guys put in work. They've got to get the choreography. They've got to get the moves down. How to, you know, jump. You don't jump off a top rope down onto a human being without practice, you know, and putting in the work. If not, you're going to really get hurt. But it's just, you know, maybe that's just one of his skills, you know, and that's just where he was kind of focused in on it for that time, is wrestling. Now it's music, and it's been music for a long time. But I think it's a great talent, you know. I think there's something to be learned from that work ethic. If you want to make it, stop waiting around, be your own producer, be whatever it takes, be your own marketing guy, put yourself out there. You have social media, you have all sorts of platforms that you can do it yourself, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, you got to start somewhere, but this guy's done it. I want to look at Withdrawals. It's a song. I'm not going to look at the entire lyrics, but I'll read them. And then I want to just talk about this idea of going through withdrawals and just in how he puts it. I'm only going to read a portion of the lyrics. There's a lot of lyrics to the song, but I just want to kind of just go through to the first chorus. But these are the lyrics. It says this. He says, "The doctor said to talk to him if I wanted to get off my meds, but I never called his office and poured the bottle in the garbage can. I'm stuck in this apartment, and I'm anxious like the cops are here. I tried to call like all my friends. None of them are answering. Is this the moment where I can't control it? I've got no appetite. I guess the party's over. I can't sleep at night. And I keep rolling over because my skin is itchy and the paranoia. Got me worried sick and it's so annoying. I've been throwing up. It looks like motor oil. But I chose to quit and now I can't avoid it. The right things to do are the hardest choices. Is this the moment when I need a donor? Liver failing from the liquor pouring? All the room is spinning. It ain't vodka soda. What is almost killing me is being sober. Talk about pitfalls, surrounded by brick walls. This is what kids call withdrawals." He goes on and says, "Deleted every number from my phone. I'm staying home. Really wish that I was drunk with all my friends. I'm gonna beat it or I won't and overdose. Really wish that I was high with all my friends." Of course, that's only a portion of the lyrics. It's a long song, but lyrically, there's a lot of lyrics to it. But it just kind of, it's painting that same picture of him making a decision And now he's going through the withdrawals and really doing it alone. He's in his apartment. The walls are coming in. And it's just, this is the idea of withdrawals. Now, I was thinking of this in the terms of, I've seen people go through withdrawals. I've never battled it myself, but I've seen people go through drug withdrawals or withdrawals from drugs, prescription drugs, illegal narcotics. I've seen people go through withdrawals and just alcohol abuse, being, you know, trying to kick the alcoholism and the withdrawals. I mean, food withdrawals, you know, someone that's just trying to lose weight, eat right. I mean, a little different, but definitely certain withdrawals. But I was, it was funny how I came across this. I was doing a message series with Marigold a couple years back, and we were reading in the book of Exodus in the Bible, and it's talking about the people of Israel leaving Exodus, like with, so I'm with, like, thinking withdrawing withdrawing or making an Exodus, sorry, making an Exodus from Egypt and going, like, this withdrawal process of coming out of Egypt and into this desert land, right? And so it's just an interesting thing that I started looking up. Like, I just thought, like, oh, withdrawals, I like, is there certain things? And I was trying to see if there was any parallels, but these are some of the things that I found when I was looking at withdrawals and what it was all about, right? So it starts, of course, with addiction. So whatever addiction that is, maybe it's drugs, it could be a sexual type addiction, it can be, you know, addicted to yourself, selfies, likes, everything, you know, you're addicted to you know, picking up social media, and I gotta see it, I gotta see them. This is fear of missing out. What did I miss out? Did someone like a post? You know, just that, you know, that can be an addiction. Donuts and alcohol, or alcohol by itself and donuts by themselves, or whatever. It's just like, but you have these different addictions, right, that hit different people differently. So you starts with the addiction, then it goes into this phase of like an outcry, right? It's a cry for help. Maybe it's outburst. Maybe they're not saying outright, like, just, hey, I have this problem and I need your help. You see behavior things. It's like their life is basically outcrying, right? So you have outbursts of, maybe it's anger, maybe it's outbursts of frustrations, outbursts of not having that thing, but, you know, it's these outcries, right? Discontent, depression, these are all outcries of, or, you know, these things that can stem from addiction. And then from there, intervention, right? Like, someone comes in and help, right? Maybe a significant friends or family come in and say, hey, we want to help you. And it's basically just pointing out the issue, right? It's maybe they're outcrying, but really kind of in denial still about, like, well, no, I don't have a problem. I know people that do, but I could quit any time. And this is kind of the time where, at you know, at times, it doesn't have to come to this, but there's times where it comes to this where family just says, look, you can't stop. Even if you wanted to, you can't. You don't have the power to. It's this intervention, right? Intervening. And then, so let's say they say, okay, I want to stop. So in this case, Tom McDonald is saying, look, I want to stop. Okay. It's I've made the choice. Now I've got to get clean. I got to get sobered up. I need the doctor said call him, but I'm just going to try to do this on my own, or without the doctor's help in this case. But then there's five symptoms or five stages of withdrawing from addiction. The first one is just the decision, right? I made the decision, which is a huge part. So rather it's, you know, addicted to pornography, addicted to sex, addicted, or, you know, some kind of sexual sin, addicted to drugs or alcohol, whatever. Like, there has to be that decision of, okay, this has got to stop for whatever reason. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's conviction of morality or of what is right and wrong. Whatever the reason, but you've made a decision to quit. Then the symptoms begin, right? The symptoms begin. Then they intensify, right? They intensify. Then they peak, and then they start to decline in intensity, and then the symptoms begin to reappear, right? It's post-acute withdrawal syndrome, right? Strong cravings, weeks, months, even years later. You haven't had a cigarette in years, but man, you smell that whiff coming around from a corner, or you walk into someone's house that they're a smoker, and it's like, it hits you, and it's like, whoa, what is that sweet aroma? And maybe it's hideous to anyone who's not a smoker, but for you, it's like, oh my gosh, that takes me back. Takes me back to just that puff. And maybe it's not cigarettes. Maybe it's something else. But, you know, it just, the smell, that smell takes you back. They say that smell is the closest thing linked to your memory. And, you know, if there's a person that wore a certain cologne and you remember them, you know, the minute you smell that cologne, maybe it's on someone else, but it's like, oh man, that reminds me of some guys to work with, or this reminds me of some lady that I used to date, or whatever. Just like it, that smell. In this case, it takes you back to, man, I remember those times where it was an escape, right? So maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's a donut. The smell of Krispy Kreme just takes you to a place. I don't know. But what are the withdrawal symptoms? Here's some withdrawal symptoms. Changes in appetite, right? Changes in mood, fatigue, the inability to sleep. You know, he talks about that, is and not able to sleep, even from paranoia. Irritability, nausea, you know, being nauseous, you know, just want to throw up or whatever the thing, or restlessness. And restlessness goes beyond just not being able to sleep. It's just like, you're just restless. Like there's nothing going on. Your mind is racing. You're all over the place. But those are some of the symptoms, right? And it's just, it's a total effect of your body saying, hey, what happened here? You used to feed me all this. Now, what are you doing? Why do you feel like you can just change this thing? We had a good thing going here. I craved it. You fed me and we were good together. And so now you've made a decision that your body doesn't like, right? You've made a decision in your soul and you're saying, no, this is not right. Now your body's like, wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't get to vote on this. And I feel like my vote really matters here. And so you go through these withdrawals. And so you've got to be able to cope with your withdrawals, right? Cope with your withdrawals. How do I cope with my withdrawals? Here's how it talks about coping with withdrawals. Ask for help. Eat well. Drink plenty of water. Exercise. Take proper medications if need be. And sleep well. Those are all kind of this thing of like, this is what it's going to take to get past the withdrawals, rather their withdrawals in the moment or these post-acute withdrawals that come later. This is how you deal with it. Now, beyond these physical addictions, I want to talk about an addiction to sin. Really, like beyond an addiction, just even if it's an unknown addiction, but when you decide, I no longer want to sin, and you say, you know what, Jesus, I see you now for who you are. I see you as Lord, and I want to get away from this sin life, okay? This sin life that's been dragging me down, that's been weighing me down. But I've been attached to it for a long time. I've been feeding this for a long time. So now what do I do, right? So what now, because I've made the decision, right? And maybe it's, so maybe, you know, and maybe it was an intervention. You know, maybe that's what took you to that place of like, I need to get right. You know, maybe it's just someone, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's someone on the street corner pointing you and saying, hey, you need Jesus. And you're like, yeah, you know, you're right. I do need Jesus. I don't know. Maybe it's a group of friends. Maybe you saw a bumper sticker. I don't know. Whatever it was that made you get to that point of like, you know, saying, yes, I've got to do something different. I've got to make a better decision for my life. And so this is what I've got to do. Okay. I this is the right thing. I recognize Jesus for who he is. He is Lord. I'm going to receive that. I'm gonna stop fighting that. And so then now you're in this place of, okay, like I've made the decision, but now I've got these withdrawals, right? Because I still have all the same friends that maybe are doing the same things, or same family, or same surroundings, my workplace. My whole life doesn't change on a dime. It doesn't turn on a dime. It doesn't stop on a dime. Everything just keeps going. The only thing that's happened at this point is my decision. So the withdrawals are coming now, right? And so now that I'm like, man, you know, it's just like everyone's doing this, and I'm getting phone calls. I'm getting more invitations to go party than I ever have, or whatever that sin is. But it's drawing you back in. Maybe it's toxic relationships that are just this is the sin that holds you down. Maybe it's sexuality and that porn. Every time you pull up your phone or every time you get on your computer, it's like something pops up, something triggers. And it's like, oh, man, I'm trying to stay away. But, man, it's on my mind. I can't sleep at night. I'm thinking about it. Man, it's just this alcohol that used to control me. Like, this was my God. The drugs, that like, this was my God. And now I'm denouncing those gods. I'm denouncing what culture has offered me, and I'm saying, no, I'm going to serve the one true God. Now, what withdrawals come from that, and how do I deal with that, right? Because now I'm irritable. I'm frustrated. I'm kind of disillusioned in many ways. And so now that I'm going through these withdrawals, what do I do? Well, the same steps in coping in a normal, natural form are really the same steps that you would use in a spiritual form here. The first one, ask for help. Don't try to do this on your own. Cry out to the Lord. Okay? It don't be like, hey God, I got this. I'll come back when I'm clean. Like, and he's like, no. I'm here to help you. My spirit is here to help you. You don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to battle sin on your own. I'm here. Ask for my help. I'm here. Just ask and I'll be here. So it's this asking for help, right? Asking God, you know, and ask people, get some accountability people in your life. Get in the local church. That's what the local church is all about. And if your local church is not about that, then find a different local church. But it should be about walking people through these withdrawals. Get withdrawing from sin, right? The way you get to sinlessness is sinning less and less, right? Just battling these withdrawals. The cravings are still there, but hey, you're battling the cravings. You're not giving in. That's the big difference here. Okay, so you're asking for help. Don't try to do it your way. It won't work. It won't work. It just won't. You'll get right back there. Okay, having accountability in your life is not bad. Having someone to tell you that you need to get it together and helping you get it together is not a bad thing. All right. So just like anything else, ask for help. The next one, eat well. All right. Does that mean, what is that? I'm talking about spiritual food here, right? I'm talking about just like your body, if it's going through some kind of physical withdrawals and now your soul is going through these withdrawals of like, you need to feed it. You need to feed your soul. Feed your soul the good stuff, the bread of life, okay? Get into Jesus. He's the bread of life. That is the only thing that is going to sustain you, right? He says it alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, right? But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what is that? That is the word of God. All right, so get into the Word of God. And that kind of goes into that idea of drinking plenty of water, right? It's what you're doing. You're flushing your system out. You've got to flush your soul out. You got to flush it out. The water of the Word, right? The water. What is water? What do we use water for? We use water for purifying, for cleaning, right? And that's what the Word of God does. It does that in us. So ask for help. Eat right. Drink right and exercise. Now, how do you exercise spiritually? All right. Now, you know, in your body, what it is to exercise. How do you exercise spiritually? Don't just read the word. don't just hear the word, actually do it. Exercise the word. Do what it says. In doing that, it builds up these muscles in you. It builds up this strength in you. Obviously, I'm not one to go to the gym a lot. I've been to the gym. I don't know why. Here's crazy. I don't know why I don't go to the gym or lift weights or do stuff like that more. I do it from time to time, but just not on a consistent basis. Every time I do it, I feel good. It brings a goodness to me. Not once ever have I said, I want to go to the gym, or I want to lift weights, or I'd like to go jogging. Never once in my life ever have I thought, this sounds like a fun and good idea. And yet every time I do it, I feel good. Even if it's just going to walk the dogs, it's just like, it just does something in me. It feels good. And, you know, if you've seen my dogs, they walk me more than I walk them, in all honesty. But it's exercise. Put it to work. Discipline yourself. Be doers of the word. The Bible says, don't, not just a hearer, but do it. The next thing is, you know, taking medicine. Now, what is taking medicine spiritually? It's really about reminding yourself of the benefits. There is a benefit to worshiping God. There is a benefit to having our priorities in order. There's a benefit to doing things right. Now, there's kind of like two schools of thought, or like kind of combating thoughts. And I don't think it should be an either or as much as an and, right? So there's one school of thought is, you don't come to God for what he can do for you. Don't ever come to God for what he can do for you. That's the wrong motive. That's the wrong reason to come to God. You come to God because he's God and that's it. What if it's both? What if I'm going to God because he's God and that's it? I recognize he's Lord, and what he says is good enough for me. But what if it's also, and I see the benefits of it? I see that God is faithful to not just have me do things in vain, but it's actually really good for me. This is not a case of me needing to feed someone's ego. God doesn't have an ego that needs to be fed. This is about, I submit to him and his goodness, and there's goodness that comes from it. And I need to remember that in the middle of the battle, in the middle of withdrawing. I have to understand and remind myself, there's good that comes of this. God is good, and he's not going to leave me to shame. I'm not going to be ashamed of this. I'm not going to be put to shame by following God. It always works out. It always works out to follow God. But you got to follow him all the way. A lot of people get halfway, complain, and then say how miserable it was. But yeah, you didn't go all the way through. Yeah, the withdrawals suck for a while. But when you get all the way through them, then you have freedom, right? You have freedom. And that's our goal. Our goal is to be free from sin, right? Going through the withdrawals. Nathan Finocchio, if you've ever heard of Nathan Finocchio, phenomenal teacher of the word, his brother as well, Gabriel Finocchio, and his dad, John Finocchio, the whole Finocchio family. But he's got this great teaching. I think it's just called Take Your Pills. And it's talking about, in Psalms, about reminding of ourselves of the benefits of the word. So look that up. Nathan Finocchio. He's the founder of TheosU, but Nathan Finocchio, Take Your Pills. I believe you can probably find that. It's a great sermon. It's great. Very simple, very short, very good. But it speaks to this of reminding yourself of the benefits. And finally, sleep well. All right. Now, sleeping well, yes, there's certain physical benefits of it. I'm talking more on the spiritual side of finding rest. Finding rest in the Lord. You're striving in one way. You're striving in a sense of you got to put in the work of denying sin, of pushing it off. So yes, you're striving for that. But in the same sense, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There should be a rest. It should be a joy, and it will be a joy to just rest in him, rest in the fact that, you know, he's so good. Rest in his goodness, rest in the freedom that you're attaining one day at a time, one decision at a time. And no matter what it is, you know, we're all withdrawing from some sort of sin. You know, if you ask me what was I addicted to? Okay. I would say mine was a silent killer. Mine was like the carbon monoxide of all sin. I think if I had to point to an addiction, wouldn't have been drugs, wouldn't have been anything like that. I was addicted to me. I was addicted to myself. I was very much God of my life. And every decision I made was the right one. And every idea I had was a good one. And every direction that I went in was God. Why? Because whether I'd heard from God or not, I'd heard from me. And since I was God, it was the right decision. I'd heard from God. The Lord over the years has broken this off of me. You know, there's still that idea of wanting to go back, right? It's called pride, right? That's the thing. Anger, pride, those are kind of the ways that it would veer its ugly head. But it really came down to, I was addicted to me. And the Lord has been done so good. And you know what's crazy? Is when I was finding my rest in him, you know, it's tough being God of your own life, right? I mean, you got to be your own savior, all right? You got to be your own provider. You got to be your own everything. But in God, I can rest in him, and that he's taking me in the right direction. That if I'm following him, I'm gonna end up where I need to be. I don't need to worry about that. If I'm doing what he says, I know it's going to be the right thing, even if it's tough. But we all have a sin that we're withdrawing from. And you know, I got to be part of some AA meetings. I wasn't there as a member or anything, but as a facilitator. Several years back, we had AA come in, and they were having their meetings in the building that we were in. And so I got to meet with these people, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. And you get to see them every week, and you get to talk, and just briefly, you know, like I said, I was just there to host. And so it was interesting to hear some of their stories, because some of them were just straight out. Like some of them, they were high yesterday, and now here they're at the meeting today, or they were drunk yesterday, whatever it was. Some was substance abuse, some was alcoholism. Some 30 years, and yet they say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. Okay, so-and-so, when's the last time you had a drink? 30 years ago. But you're still, why do you call yourself an alcoholic? Because I remind myself that I could go back there. And if I don't do things right, if I don't ask for help and have accountability, if I'm not eating right and drinking right, if I'm not getting the proper rest, if I'm not doing the things that I know I need to do physically, exercising, then I will easily fall back to that. We have to understand that. We have to understand it's so easy to get complacent and just say, oh, you know, that'll never happen. Man, guard yourself. Guard yourself. Keep fighting it. Build yourself up daily. All right. Put on the full armor, the Bible says, daily. Take up the sword, right? Do whatever it takes to keep yourself pure, and you can do it with the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's what's so great. So no matter what, you it starts, you know, the outcry, intervention, decision, the withdrawals, but no matter what, ask for help, eat well, drink plenty of water, exercise, take your proper medications, sleep well. Whether this is a physical thing that you need to do, maybe it's actual drugs you're addicted to, but we all have sin. So maybe you may be doing these things in the physical, but I also want you to do these things in the spiritual well as well. And maybe these are, maybe they interlock for you. Maybe these are the things that you just, you know that you need to work out in your life, but just know you're not having to do it alone. Find a good local church. Find a good group of people that can walk with you and that are willing to walk you through things, that are not putting on airs or putting on a show, that they're real people, real down to earth. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to constantly be pointing you to Jesus. You'll know the good church because they're pointing you to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're pointing you to God, all three persons, and they're walking you through it. In Jesus' name. But hey, our time is up for now. But you can follow us on Instagram at Unpolished Podcast for updates to the studio and further episodes to come. But until next time, we challenge you to discover, imagine, and go. Discover God's purpose for your life. Imagine beyond your circumstances and go be who God has called you to be.